Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. It's November 29th, 2021, live to be rebroadcast December 1st, 2021 on 91.7 FM WHUS Stores, December. Oh my goodness. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician with my co-host Ron Meniza. We're coming to you live from beautiful Mansfield Hollow, Connecticut. Comment below to let us know you're here and ask questions. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also check out my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at FranStorchND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. All right. Did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
I did. Did you?
It was all right. I was sad because I couldn't run the Manchester Road Race, but I'm glad that you did.
Oh, I did that for you.
Yeah, that's fine.
Right.
But I stayed home. And I got into watching a Sex and the City binge while sitting on my trainer, which was kind of fun. And I saw the classic episode where Berger tells Miranda that if he doesn't come upstairs on the first date, he's just not that into you. That was the origin of that term. He's just not that into you came from. And then a book was written based off of that and then a movie. And that was from that episode. That was so interesting. And then I saw Berger dump Carrie by Post-it. That was very interesting. So that was kind of fun. So the great thing is that I feel like I'm well healed. My knees are so much better. I almost have no pain in either knee. And I was able to go back to doing my planks and my push-ups on the floor because my knees and my feet were well enough healed for me to do that. And I did gentle spinning. I didn't do too much resistance on the bike, and that really helped me. So just if you ever sprain, strain your knees, if you can get on an exercise bike, it can be really helpful. And it can be a regular, it doesn't have to be like what I'm doing where I have my road bike on a trainer. You can use a regular exercise bike. It's just that pedaling motion. You're going in one plane. It strengthens everything and it gets circulation going through those knees. And I think it helps speed the healing process because I rode my bike short, you know, a bunch of days in a row, and I'm so much better. I also had a great acupuncture treatment and chiropractic last week, and I'll have another acupuncture and chiropractic on Wednesday, and that'll be really nice. And then I'll be all set to go to my my nephew Tali's bar mitzvah this weekend. And the cool thing about my nephew Tali is his birthday is December 4th, and that's the day of his bar mitzvah. And it also happens that that December 4th was the day of my bat mitzvah in 1976. So our bar bat mitzvah was the same day, our b'nai mitzvot. So I'm going to do a little something special to celebrate that. So that's exciting. So going to New Jersey next weekend. Yay. Which I know you're thrilled about.
Mm-hmm. Thrilled about the traffic.
Yes. And then yesterday was my birthday. I turned 35 with 23 years experience. And so do the math. And I'm going to be 60 in 2 years. That's just crazy. Anyway, I had a lovely birthday, I must say. It was fun. I got to snuggle in bed for a bit, and then I went downstairs and got on my trainer and watched Sex and the City, and that was nice. And then my friend Amanda, by request, brought me a Green Goddess smoothie from Dog Lane Cafe, and that was really good. It's enormous, so I'm still working through it. So I had a little bit yesterday, and I'm having more today. It's delicious. So thank you, Amanda. And then we did this really cool thing. We went to the Hartford stage, and we saw It's a Wonderful Life, a radio play. So it was really cool because there were only four actors and a Foley guy. Foley guy is the guy who does the sound effects. And, you know, no electronic sound effects. It was set, apparently, in the 40s. And so he had all, you know, drums and washboards and marbles and you know, metal trays to shake, and it was very cool. And then you had four different people playing all the different characters and standing at microphones and doing sound effects, and that was really great. The first part of, like, the first half when they're doing the exposition and Clarence is learning about George's life, they mostly stood at the microphones, and the second half they made it a little more dramatic and they did away with the mics and they acted it out a little bit more. But they still, you know, went back and forth. There were only four of them, and there were way more characters than that in the movie. So as much fun as I had at seeing the radio play version, I will watch the actual movie at least two or three times. And so that was really nice. We went to Hartford, and then last night I put on some Charlie Brown because I love Peanuts. And so I hadn't watched The Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown yet. So I watched that, and then I watched the Thanksgiving episode, and I thought I'd wait till December to watch the Charlie Brown Christmas. So that'll be good. And so that was a lot of fun. I also have a favorite, my favorite Christmas pop song is Christmas Wrapping. Now the calendar's just one page, that one. And so I have kind of a rule. I can't listen to it until December because of that line. Now the calendar's just one page. And of course I am excited. Can't listen to it till December 1st. If I listen to it inadvertently, that's okay. But I can start playing it on demand anytime then, and you know, putting on the Christmas stations and listening to it as much as I want. So anyway, so holiday season is coming. And so I'm very pleased with my healing. My medial collateral ligament seems to be doing very well. I've been doing leg exercises for it and doing that spinning, and it seems to be doing fine. And I take some supplements that help too. Something that nourishes my ligaments, so that's really good. And plus the great chiropractic and acupuncture that I have been having. All right, so that's what's going on. So Ron, once again, has some more questions to ask me.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, you do. So you should ask me the questions, and then I'll answer them.
Okay. So are these are in order? I'm assuming that we had left off on a question last week.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that you have rearranged them and edited. Yes.
It's all good. You're good.
Aha. Aha. Okay. By the way, that was a fun thing at the Hartford stage, wasn't it?
Was it not?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It was very
I saw
nice.
That and I thought of you because, aww. You know.
I love It's a Wonderful Life.
It's one of your favorites. So
I made a comment about how I might be nervous to go to a theater at this point. And Ron thought to himself, oh, no. And then when he said, oh, I would go to a theater, I thought to myself, he's taking me to the theater tomorrow. Because he said, yes, we'll be gone for a couple of hours.
And they were very safe, and they were very guarded as far as, you know, making sure everyone was vaccinated.
You had to go in there with your vaccine card and your ID.
Yep.
Yes.
So I was very pleased with the Hartford stage.
Yes, and it wasn't you know, packed.
No.
It was perfectly fine.
Well, I chose
safe.
The middle of the day because I thought a matinee would be less packed.
It'd be safer.
You're right. Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
And the funny thing was when I decided he's probably taking me to the theater, I got on the computer and I went, okay, what's playing at Jorgensen? Nothing. What's playing at the Bushnell? Nothing. What's playing at the Schubert? Nothing. What's playing at Connecticut Repertory Theater? Nothing. I didn't think to check the Hartford stage.
Fooled ya.
And if I had checked the Hartford stage, I would have gone, it's A Wonderful Life. That's
has
it.
Has to be it.
Has to
right.
be it.
Has
absolutely.
Be it. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it was fun. It was a fun thing.
Totally fun.
So it was great to get out.
And
also,
we talked to the 80-somethings in front of us.
Yes.
And they said that the guy said a very touching thing. He said that, you know, he was past 80, and while he was watching it, he was closing his eyes because it reminded him of when he was a kid and he used to listen to radio plays with his family.
Yeah.
And so we told him about how WECS still on Saturday nights does radio plays.
They do.
They play radio, old radio plays like The Shadow and things like that.
They
it's
do.
Really cool.
They do. Yeah. Yeah, it was really cool. And then they did really another funny thing. I have to make this one more comment on this and then I'll get to the questions.
Okay.
And they did a funny thing where, you know, when they have the old radio shows, they have commercials.
Yes.
And then they have commercials for various different things.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things they had a commercial for was for G. Fox and Company.
Right.
And for any of you who are Connecticut people, you know who G. Fox is. It was a big department store that was in the center of downtown Hartford.
I didn't know
and
from G. Fox.
The minute they said G. Fox, I said 11th floor. Because my parents used to bring me up to Constitution Plaza, which is also in the middle of downtown Hartford, to see the Christmas lights every year. And
aww.
That was also followed by it was right after we had gone over to G. Fox to go to the 11th floor, because the 11th floor was the toy floor.
Yes.
It was all toys on that floor. And they mentioned it in the ad. And I said it
you
before
said it
they
before
mentioned
they
it.
Mentioned it. Yep. So you get points.
I got points.
You got points. Yep.
So anyway. But anyway, moving on. Happy Hanukkah.
Thanks.
Yay, it's Hanukkah. So we lit some candles last night, which is really cool. And pulled out all the Hanukkah decorations.
I insisted on lighting 3 menorahs.
Yeah, so we have a lot of menorahs.
Yes.
We have way too many menorahs.
Yeah, we have four right. candle menorahs and one electric one.
That is correct.
And so we always put the electric one in the window. And I lit 3. I usually like to light 2 of the candle ones, but I lit 3 this year because I have 2 small candle ones. And then my mother gave us a long stained glass one that you actually use tea lights. And so it's pretty because you put the tea lights behind the stained glass and it lights up. It's really lovely.
Yeah, it was very pretty. So, of course, you know, one of the other things that you do when you have Hanukkah is you do latkes.
Yes.
And so I made latkes last night.
Yes.
And I made 2 different types. I made a regular white potato one, russet potato, whatever it is, latke. And then I also made a sweet potato latke. So I made them both, and they were sort of an experiment because I was trying something a little bit different with the latkes, and they were like, pretty good, not great. But
because you did the tray bake thing.
I did. What I did was I made them like a big, almost like a pizza in a cast iron fry pan.
Yeah.
And then you, once they get a little crisp on the bottom, then you slide them into the oven and then broil the other side. And it didn't work. But that's all right. It was a nice idea.
Just saying, latke pizza is a thing.
Latke pizza is a thing.
Yeah.
Right, right. So anyway, that's what we did yesterday. And but the question remains, there's other things too that are big with Hanukkah. The other one is jelly donuts. So
yes.
Are latkes and jelly donuts good for you?
Well, you know, it depends on how you make them. And so, first of all, I would say if you had to pick one or the other, probably the latkes are better for you than the jelly donuts, because one is made from potatoes and sweet potatoes, and potatoes and sweet potatoes have resistant starch in them, and they have a lot of nutrition in them. And then if you use a healthy oil, then you're gonna get the benefits of that healthy oil. I can't do onions because I get stomach aches from them, but onions and garlic are very good for you. If you put onions, and it's traditional to put onions in your latkes, so if you're getting onions, you're getting quercetin, you're getting a bunch of flavonoids and nutrients from the onions, you're getting fiber. So latkes are not that bad for you. And, you know, if you top them with applesauce, if you have organic applesauce that's unsweetened, you can do that. You can certainly add cinnamon to that or get cinnamon applesauce. And then you can either use sour cream. And if it's a good quality organic 100% cream sour cream, it can be really good for you. And we generally don't do sour cream. We do Greek yogurt. We do full-fat Greek yogurt because it's just more versatile. I'll buy a little thing of sour cream. We'll use it for the latkes, and then we don't use it again because we just are not in the habit of using sour cream. But if we have Greek yogurt around, we eat it. And so I think Greek yogurt tastes just as good on my latkes. So potatoes have a lot of nutritional benefits, and they have a lot of nutrition. They have only a little bit of fat. They even have a little bit of protein. They definitely have a lot of carbs in them. So if you're keeping your carbs low, a whole potato has like 37 grams of carbs. They do have a bit of fiber and a little bit of vitamin C and B6 and potassium. And they do have some trace minerals like manganese. They have a little bit of magnesium, phosphorus, and niacin and folate. They do have antioxidants in them. They have flavonoids, carotenoids, and phenolics, which will help prevent you from oxidative stress in your body. Color potatoes, so if you get purple potatoes, they have anthocyanins in them, so they're going to have even more antioxidant benefit for you. They might help you with blood sugar control because of the resistant starch. The resistant starch is not broken down fully, so it goes through you more slowly. And so because it's going through slowly, it's not absorbed as quickly. Not all of it may even be absorbed. And so you're going to have a lower, you're going to have blunted blood sugar response to it. So potatoes definitely have those. And one of the thoughts is that when you have an item that has resistant starch in it, you cook it and then you put it in the fridge and it increases the amount of resistant starch. So you put the latkes we didn't eat in the refrigerator, they're going to have higher resistant starch.
Huh.
The sweet potatoes as well have the resistant starch.
Okay.
They might improve your digestion because of the resistant starch. It's because when they get into your gut, you have beneficial bacteria, probiotics, that will convert it into short-chain fatty acids. They make butyrate for you. So if you can deal with potatoes without eating too much of them and, you know, without overdoing them and getting into a carb situation, potatoes help you make butyrate, which helps to prevent you from getting colon cancer. And butyrate is very good for your digestive health. Butyrate can also help people with IBD, inflammatory bowel disease, like Crohn's and ulcerative colitis. So if you're in a place where you can tolerate that kind of carbohydrate and you have inflammatory bowel disease and it's quiet, it's not actively flared, the potatoes might be helpful for you. The gluten-free, you know, when people are like, how do I eat gluten-free? Everything has gluten in it. No, that's not true. Everything doesn't have gluten in it. If you're talking about bread and pasta and things made from flour, and you're used to eating things with gluten in it, then it may seem like everything has gluten in it. If you're only eating processed food, everything has gluten in it. But when you're eating an apple, a potato, a sweet potato, a broccoli, a cauliflower, there is no gluten. So these are things where gluten isn't even an issue because they never had gluten to start with. Potatoes can be really helpful. There's nothing in them, nothing about them that has gluten. They're definitely filling. When I lived in Newfoundland, they used to get the little potatoes, like the small potatoes, because they grew potatoes. By the way, Prince Edward Island is a big place for growing potatoes. Prince Edward Island is one of the Atlantic provinces in Newfoundland. Prince Edward Island is a big province for growing potatoes, not so much Newfoundland. Newfoundland, I think they grow potatoes there, but PEI is known for growing potatoes. And when we lived in Newfoundland and Nova Scotia, we would eat PEI potatoes. And so they would get these potatoes, small ones, you know, not the big ones that we're used to seeing, but little ones, and they'd have a big cauldron and boil a bunch of them, and people would just pound them. Now, that was good if you were working hard and you're working on the farm, but not everybody did that in Newfoundland. So there could be, people would come to me and talk about having weight issues. Potatoes have a proteinase inhibitor that can curb appetite. And it's this PI2, proteinase inhibitor 2. And it can help to enhance the release of cholecystokinin, which helps to promote fullness. So there are some people who say, if I don't have my potatoes, I don't feel full. And they do, in fact, make you feel full. They're versatile. You could do a lot of things with potatoes, especially make latkes. You could steam them. You could fry them. You could air fry them. You could deep fry them. Probably shouldn't deep fry them, but you could. But now the air fryer is all the rage, so we're looking into that for the holidays. We might get one of those. So I'm excited about that. You can use potato flour if you're gluten intolerant, if it's 100% potato. And you can make latke pizza if you want to. Hint, hint. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, maybe we have a little, like just little baby latke pizzas because that's going to be filling. So, potatoes can be really good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are sweet potatoes. Sweet potatoes are a little different than potatoes. The potatoes are in the Solanaceae family and sweet potatoes are not. They're a starchy, they're sweeter than white potatoes, and they are not a nightshade. So if you have nightshade issues, you can eat sweet potatoes as long as you tolerate them. And sweet potatoes come in different colors. They can be orange, they can be white, they can be purple. Again, they're going to have a lot of antioxidants in them. So Megan says she got an air fryer and she used it last night and is going to make broccoli with it. She'll let us know. So yay, Megan. All right. So so sweet potatoes, about the same calories as potatoes. They do have more carbs and they do have, they have some protein and fat and a lot of fiber. They have a ton of vitamin A in it, which it's not technically vitamin A. It's technically beta carotene, but they are, they are orders of magnitude higher than your daily value. So if you even if you eat half a sweet potato, you're going to get lots and lots of beta carotene because they're so orange. They have a bit of C, some trace mineral manganese, some B6, a little bit of potassium, a little bit of pantothenic acid, vitamin B5, which is good for your adrenals, a little bit of copper, a little bit of niacin. They are good for your gut health because they have soluble and insoluble fiber. There are viscous fibers that absorb water and soften your stool, so they're going to help you go to the bathroom. And again, they have the same kind of fibers that make the short chain fatty acids, including butyrate, so they're going to be protective against bowel cancer. And so lots of antioxidants. Purple sweet potatoes definitely promote the gut healthy gut bacteria like Bifidobacterium and Lactobacillus. And when you have more diversity, you have more gut health. They have cancer-fighting properties, including their anthocyanins, which are going to be in the purple sweet potatoes. So purple produce in general is going to have these anthocyanins that are tend to be anti-cancer, and especially colon cancer. And extracts of orange sweet potatoes and also the peels have been found to have anti-cancer properties. So this is the thing about the peels. It's a good idea to get organic potatoes and sweet potatoes because the peels have a lot of antioxidants and they're very good. Remember, your mom said the peels, the most nutritious part. Mm-hmm. Well, she was right.
Yeah.
But it's a good idea to not get non-organic. You don't want to be eating the pesticides that could be on the potatoes. So it's a good idea to get organic potatoes and sweet potatoes so you can eat the peel. When you make them, do you leave the peel on?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
so I don't
think
good.
About it. I just, you know, I put them in a food processor, so I don't even think about it. I just clean them up real good, make sure there's no dirt on them, and then I drop them in the food processor.
So anthocyanins can help your brain.
Is that why I'm feeling so smart this morning?
Yeah, because we didn't really have anthocyanins. We just had carotenoids because we didn't have purple sweet potatoes.
Yes, we did.
We can get purple sweet potatoes.
We had purple sweet potatoes. That's what we had.
We did.
Yes, we did.
Oh, they were purple.
They were purple.
Yes, they were.
They
now
were.
That I come to think of it.
Absolutely,
yes.
They were purple. That's why they were so dark. It's because they were purple. Yeah.
That's jamming.
That was one old purple sweet potato
that's
that I
fantastic.
Bought at the co-op.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was a nice one.
All right.
Yes.
So, lots of beta carotene.
Who are you working with here?
Anthocyanin dude. Yes. So, lots of vitamin A, lots of beta carotene. Really,
yep.
really good for
yep.
you.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, and then, So the thing is, what do you put on your latkes? You put Greek yogurt and you put apples on it. So are apples good for you?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Apples aren't good for you.
No, yes they are.
Really nutritious.
You're being silly.
You know, they can have, depending on the size of the apple, they can have anywhere from 50 to 100 calories. And they do have 25 grams of carbs, but they do have a lot of fiber. 4 grams of fiber in an apple. You're going to get a little bit of C, a little bit of potassium, a little bit of vitamin K. And they might help you with weight loss, and because they do increase satiety, so meaning that you're going to feel fuller if you eat them, because they have a bunch of fiber in them. They have apple pectin in them. They are energy dense, but they give you fiber and volume. I find that if I just have a snack of either an apple or a pear, and I slice it up and I put nut butter on it, I am full for a few hours. That's a really satisfying treat. Apples have been shown to have a lower risk of heart disease. They have soluble fiber in them. They have polyphenols, which are antioxidants. Mm-hmm. There's epicatechin, which can help lower blood pressure. I should be eating an apple a day. And they have a 20%, they lower your stroke risk by 20%. Lots of flavonoids help prevent LDL oxidation. And there was a study that compared eating an apple a day to taking statins. They concluded that apples would be almost as effective at reducing death from heart disease as the drugs.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we should be eating more apples.
More apples.
Like, try to have an apple. Like,
an apple a day is not a bad idea.
Especially this time of year when the other fruits are not in season and apples store well and we can easily get local apples that have been stored. And I could make a nice apple crisp dessert. All right. So apples and pears also can tend to reduce stroke risk. They're also linked to a lower risk of diabetes. Again, this is going to be because of the fiber that's in them. And they also have prebiotic effects and promote good gut bacteria because of the apple pectin. Apple pectin is so good for you. So the apple pectin kind of goes through you, so it promotes good bacteria growth. And then there are anti-cancer stuff in apples. And so they're linked to a lower risk of cancer in general. And they have something in them that can help to fight asthma, which is quercetin, which is also in onions. Also good for bone health. Linked to higher, if you eat fruit in general, it's linked to higher bone density, probably because of the anti-inflammatory benefits. Part of osteoporosis is inflammation. If your bones, a lot of inflammatory compounds around, you're going to have a deterioration of bones. So anyway, very good for you. Also, if you have to take NSAIDs, like you're somebody who's been told, and this is controversial, but if you've been told take an aspirin a day, take an apple a day, you might have less stomach upset. And I wonder, too, if it prevents against stomach injury from NSAIDs, doesn't it stand to reason it would help to prevent stomach injury from anything at all? So if you just have to have that cup of coffee, but it gives you heartburn and reflux, maybe if you had an apple, you'd have less problem with that. So interesting. Okay.
Yep.
Apples are good for your brain.
Yeah.
And both the peel and the flesh. So it's a good idea to get the organic or unsprayed. Apple juice may help to preserve acetylcholine. So if you drink a little apple juice, it could help with your help protect dementia or especially Alzheimer's. Elderly rats who ate apples found that they had better memory markers. So whole apples contain the same compounds as apple juice, but it's better to eat your fruit whole because you're going to get all the fiber. You're not going to get apple pectin in apple juice. If it's you might get some in cider if it's completely just ground apples, but if it's pressed, you're really not. So it's really better. I mean, you're going to get lots of flavonoids and stuff if you drink apple cider, but you're not going to get the fiber. And that's the thing is you want to have that whole fruit to get all of the benefit of the fruit. And you want to get the fiber and you want to get the flavonoids. All right. So that's the apples in your applesauce. Then there's your yogurt. Is yogurt good for you? Of course yogurt's good for you.
Yeah.
The issue with yogurt, if you're dairy intolerant and you don't do well with yogurt, you shouldn't eat yogurt. So, but if you can eat yogurt and you're not intolerant to it, then you can eat it. It has a lot of great nutrients. It definitely has calcium and B vitamins. It also has phosphorus and magnesium and potassium. But it doesn't naturally contain vitamin D. Some brands will be fortified with it, so you can check that. I would say it's not a good idea to get fortified yogurt. Get 100% organic yogurt. Whole milk yogurt is fine to get. You're going to get essential fatty acids from it. And if you are vitamin D deficient, take vitamin D in pills. Get good quality natural vitamin D3 in pills if you need the support. And if you live in Connecticut or if you live within the sound of my voice, you probably need some. Unless you are listening down south, and if by down south I mean way down south, like in the subtropical regions. So if you're in Florida, you may not need to take vitamin D if you get outside a lot. But up here, even if you get outside a lot, my patients, even who farm or are contractors, I measure their vitamin D, they're still low in it. So yogurt has a lot of protein, especially if you eat Greek. Yogurts can have even more protein, 12 grams per 7 ounces, more if you eat Greek. And so protein can help you to increase your metabolic rate. There's saturated fat if you eat whole milk yogurt. But the research shows that saturated fat really doesn't cause cardiovascular disease. And I've been saying that it's oxidative stress and it's starch and sugar that can increase your risk of cardiovascular disease. And so getting protein for your appetite regulation is very helpful. And again, if you eat yogurt, and again, you only eat the yogurt if you're not dairy intolerant, it's going to make you fuller because of that protein. You're going to be more full if you eat the Greek yogurt because the Greek yogurt has even more protein. So you get 12 grams of protein per 7 ounces of whole milk yogurt. You get 22 grams per 7 ounces if you eat Greek yogurt. It's because it's been strained. A lot of the water's been strained out so that you have a higher protein content. That's the whole deal with Greek yogurt. And then if you get skyr, forget about it. Skyr is Scandinavian yogurt. It's Danish. And that's got an even higher protein content because it's practically cheese. I think it's not even fairly called yogurt. It should be really called cheese. And it has a really high protein content. So if you get a pasteurized yogurt, that's going to reduce its bacterial content. So check your label and see that it has live active cultures. Because one of the things they can do is they can pasteurize it and then put more cultures into it. The bifidobacterium lactobacillus can be really helpful for you. It can lessen IBS symptoms. But again, if you're dairy intolerant and you have a problem with dairy protein, then you don't have to eat this stuff. The probiotics in it can help with your immune system. It's been shown to reduce gut inflammation. Probiotics in general will do this. And the magnesium, selenium, and zinc also are going to help with your immune system. And then, of course, if there's vitamin D in it, as long as the vitamin D is vitamin D3, might protect against osteoporosis, again, because of the calcium, protein, potassium, phosphorus, and D. All these minerals are going to help to strengthen your bones. Might be helpful for heart health because it has monounsaturated fatty acids in it, has other essential fatty acids in it. And that there's no clear evidence that says that yogurt fat is harmful to your health. So you bought whole milk yogurt. That's mm-hmm. fine.
Yeah.
And now we have some whole milk yogurt in the house, and I have some to eat.
Right.
And the yogurt, so dairy products can, like yogurt, they've been shown to help with your blood pressure too. Can also help with your weight management. The high protein in the yogurt is going to help you with calcium to increase your peptide YY, which is going to help with satiety, as well as GLP-1, which is glucagon-like peptide. Which tends to increase your feelings of fullness and help with your metabolism. So full-fat yogurt can help to reduce the incidence of obesity. So we talked about lactose intolerance. If you don't have a fully fermented yogurt, there can be lactose in it, which is milk sugar. And if you are lactose intolerant, you're not going to be able to digest yogurt with lactose in it. If it is a fully fermented yogurt, then you should be fine. Some people, it doesn't matter that it's fermented enough. They get a good quality yogurt and it's fermented enough. They are able to eat it. So you have to be careful about that if you know you're lactose intolerant. And then if you're allergic to the protein in dairy, casein or whey, then and you could be mildly symptomatic or allergic where you just don't feel good eating it. So the difference between lactose intolerance and protein intolerance, lactose intolerance is going to give you gas and bloating, and if it's really bad, it'll send you for the bathroom within the hour. A dairy protein intolerance is going to tend to make you feel sluggish and slow, maybe constipated, and you might be gassy and bloated, but not in such a dramatic way. You have to be careful of yogurt that has sugar added to it. The best way to do yogurt is to get a totally organic yogurt. Decide for yourself if you want to get full fat organic or if you want to get Greek. That's up to you, whatever your preference is. And get plain and then season it yourself. If you put in a serving of yogurt, like if I have a half cup serving or whatever amount that I have, a third to a half cup serving, if I put in a teaspoon of real maple syrup, that's plenty, and that's the only added sugar that I'm putting into it. If you get a cup of yogurt, even if it's an organic brand, it might have a lot more added sugar to it. So if you can manage it and if you can take the time to do it, you can scoop out yogurt from a big container and then season it yourself. And I put all kinds of things in my yogurt. I will put goji berries. You can put dried cranberries in. You can put any kind of fruit that you want. Whether it's apples or pears or peaches. And you can put in jam. If you have 100% fruit jam, that's a good way to go. I will often just put dried fruit and seeds in my yogurt. I have a yogurt topper mix, the blend that I have. And I put in, it's got goji berries, it's got shredded coconut, it's got organic cacao nibs, sunflower seeds, raw organic sunflower seeds and raw organic pumpkin seeds. And I sprinkle that over my yogurt. And I actually have chia seeds. And I mix the chia seeds in so they make a little puddingy. So I will do that sometimes when I'm having coconut yogurt. Now, coconut yogurt overall might not be as good for you because it doesn't have the protein, but it's better if you are dairy intolerant, of course. And if you're dairy intolerant, you're not going to be able to eat the dairy yogurt. So coconut yogurt will still have the probiotics for you, but it's not going to have as much protein and a lot of the other nutrients. But it is a good alternative. I don't find coconut yogurt as satisfying. When I eat dairy yogurt, I feel fuller because there's more protein in it. So it's generally a nutritious substance to you unless it's not. And then we're going to talk about raspberries because raspberries can be in the jam if you make the jelly donuts. So raspberries, here, let me get my raspberry link here. Yeah, so raspberries are, they're a really nice fruit and they come in black, purple, and golden. The red ones are the most easy to find, but you can get black raspberries. I guess 2 years ago, we had an overgrowth of blackberries. The blackberries did enormously well and we had tons of blackberries. And we had a relatively dry season for rain. This year we had a ridiculous amount of rain, especially the time of the season when the blackberries would be blooming. So if you have too much rain at a time when a plant is supposed to make a flower, it won't flower as much. So we didn't have as many blackberry flowers, therefore we did not have as many blackberries altogether. But the timing was right for the raspberries, so we had a lot more raspberries this year. Did you notice that?
Yes, we had a whole lot more raspberries.
A lot more raspberries Absolutely. Than blackberries. So we'll see. It all depends on the rain. And the rain wasn't as bad at the time because the raspberries come in before the blackberries. So it wasn't raining as much when the raspberries flowered. We have a few black raspberry plants in our backyard. So that's exciting to find them because they're harder to find than the red raspberries. Red raspberries just take over. But they're really fun to come eat. We still had a lot of fruit this year. We also had a small grapevine that came over the fence near the power lines, and it bore beautiful Concord grapes, which we ate. They were great. That was so cool. We didn't have to do a thing, and we got fruit. Yeah, I love that kind of thing. Raspberries are really nice. They have anthocyanins. Look, there's a nice picture of the raspberries. They're relatively low in calories, not too high in carbs. They have a little bit of protein. They have a lot of vitamin C. Like half your in a cup of raspberries, you get half your daily vitamin C recommendation. Then it has some other nutrients like manganese and K and B vitamins and phosphorus, potassium and copper. Lot of fiber, 8 grams in a cup. So you're going to get four. That's a lot of fiber for a cup of fruit. So they do have small amounts of A. And some B vitamins and some calcium and zinc. They have a lot of antioxidants, and they protect you from oxidative stress. They have vitamin C, quercetin, and they have ellagic acid, which is also found in pomegranates.
Huh.
Yes.
Okay.
So raspberries and their extracts are anti-inflammatory, antioxidant. They help with diabetes, obesity, cancer, and they're super delicious. They also have fiber and tannins. So the fiber and tannins are going to be really good for your gut health and help benefit your blood sugar. And so so the tannins in raspberries can block alpha amylase, which is an enzyme that you need for breaking down starch. So you're going to excrete more of your starch if you eat more raspberries. So that's kind of nice. Probably cancer fighting because they're really protective against cancer. They have a lot of antioxidants. They have this ellagic acid, which is going to help with that. Because they're anti-inflammatory, they may help with your arthritis. They may be helpful for weight loss. Remember raspberry ketone supplements? So it hasn't been really researched well. It's probably better to eat a general healthy diet and eat fruit regularly as long as you're not... don't have some reason why you can't eat fruit because you're just going to get more benefit from eating a balanced diet. If you want to get raspberry ketones, eat a bunch of raspberries. That's my advice.
Okay.
They can help you with aging just because the antioxidants are going to give you nice skin. See my nice skin? That's from raspberries and lots of other things. So raspberries can be made into 100% fruit jam. You can freeze them. You can put them in smoothies. You can get raspberry-flavored sorbet. You can put them in your yogurt. You can put them in your oatmeal. And you can make a berry salad. Remember, I was talking about making raspberry, an apple crisp. In recent years, I've done an apple pear crisp where I put berries in it too. Because this time of year, you can get organic frozen berries and you can throw them into anything and you get a lot of antioxidants. So that's the raspberries in your jelly donuts. So the thing is, you eat oil on Hanukkah because it took... When the Assyrians destroyed the temple, they destroyed the menorah, and they only had enough oil left to light the candelabra for one night. So they had to go out to the country to go get more oil so they could bring it back and have enough oil to light the menorahs. But there was a miracle, and the light stayed lit for eight nights. So that's the miracle of the oil. And the miracle of the oil is a symbol of hope, a symbol of rebuilding, mm-hmm. a symbol of life. And so you eat oily stuff. So that's why you eat latkes, you know, potatoes and sweet potatoes fried in oil. And that's the Ashkenazic tradition. And, you know, Eastern European Jews are going to be eating, potatoes and sweet potatoes because that's what we had in Eastern Europe. I don't know if we had sweet potatoes in Eastern Europe, but we had definitely had potatoes. There's no reason why we couldn't have made jelly donuts, I suppose, but we didn't. And in Western Europe, in Spain and Portugal, they did. Maybe they jelly donuts were just a thing, and those are called sufganiyot. And so jelly donuts are traditional too. And now you'll see all the cultures where, you know, Jewish people, why would you not eat a jelly donut? We just haven't done it because it's harder to make. And I thought about going to buy jelly donuts. I have to find gluten-free jelly donuts, though. Anyway, or I could get donuts and just, you know, get some raspberry jam and put the raspberry jam on.
Anyway,
doesn't have to be raspberry, just has to be jelly. And I do have some nice strawberry jam in the fridge that a patient gave me. Thank you so much. And so it's just another treat. And there's flour, oil, and sugar in the donuts. So they're not going to be as good for you as the latkes, unfortunately. But, you know, after you have your fill of protein and vegetables, you can have jelly donut for dessert. Just limit it, and they're just a pleasure. So there you go. That's my why Hanukkah stuff is good for you report.
I see.
What else you got for me?
So what else do I have for you? Well, we have mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Are next on my list here. So why were the mosquitoes so bad this year? And what can I do about it? And, you know, there's a bunch of stuff here I can get into.
Right. So
let's start with why so many mosquitoes.
Yeah, so there were a lot of mosquitoes this year. Well, do you have an opinion?
Yeah, well, we had a lot of moisture this year.
Yeah.
So because we had more rain, you're going to have more little puddles forming, and mosquitoes love to breed in puddles.
In standing water, that's where
standing
they breed.
Water.
They breed in
right.
standing water.
So if they have lots of standing water, which is undisturbed standing water, then they will breed in there.
Yeah.
And of course, it's, you know, water that's moving around all the time, then it's not really undisturbed.
No, the issue is not going to be with your rivers and streams. It's
right.
going to be with your...
Right.
We are big on vernal ponds in this area because we get a lot of rain in the spring,
yes.
and then we get vernal ponds.
And we have them all around here. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We want to get our vernal ponds because without our vernal ponds, we don't get peepers.
Right.
Now, mind you, those peepers will eat the mosquitoes.
Right.
But so you have to have enough... frogs around to eat the mosquitoes. So mm-hmm. if you have a lot of rain, you're going to have a lot of standing water. So we have a lot of vernal ponds, and we're not about to go out in our woods and get rid of all the vernal ponds. What you can do in your yard, though, is make sure there are no puddles. So we have a slab in front of our doorstep, a slab
yeah.
that is our... Well, yeah. no, it's in front of our doorstep, and it's attractive. It's not the most wonderful thing because it does collect water, and sometimes it gets ice in it. But in the summer, there's a little depression in it that collects water. And I've looked down, and one day I said to Ron, look at those little squiggly things swimming around. And what are those? And he said, those are mosquito larvae. I'm like, okay, let's get the broom.
That's what they are.
Right. So you have to keep your standing water.
You got to stay on top of it.
Yes. And if you have little buckets or things that you have outside for some reason, that are collecting water, keep them empty, empty them, or turn them over if you have to keep them outside, or don't keep them outside.
Exactly.
Because they will, anywhere mosquitoes can grow, they will grow, and then they will attack you. And we found that they were just terrible. They were particularly bad this year. I remember I would go to places where I wouldn't usually have to worry about being bitten by mosquitoes, and I got bitten. Like, I remember going to the farmer's market. And the farmer's market is in the store's farmer's market is in front of town hall.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not particularly near any puddles, but it must be close enough. There's that walking area across the street on the other side of South Eagleville Road.
Yep.
Maybe that has some puddles in it. But I was getting bitten. I was talking to somebody. I'm like, oh, what is that itchy birdie feeling all over us all of a sudden? Wonder if I have a rash. And I look down and it's a mosquito bite.
Yep.
And they were biting us because there were just so many of them. Now it's not a problem anymore because we've had many hard freezes. And, you know, once you have the hard freezes, they're just, I don't know what happens to them during the winter because they certainly come back.
I don't know.
But
I'm not sure how that works.
They must hide somewhere because they always come back.
Let's see if we can figure that out.
Yeah, that's something that I don't know. What happens to mosquitoes over the winter? Because you certainly don't get bitten anymore. Once you get a bunch of freezes, there's no place for them to there's no place for them to breed, and so then you're done for a while. And then, although I think it was yesterday, I saw a mosquito flying around in our house. That it must have gotten in somehow, and it managed to breed and hang out in our house.
Like bears, mosquitoes are inactive during the winter. They will hide in trees and burrows.
Okay.
Some hide in basements and storm sewers. They can go into diapause.
So they hibernate.
They hibernate.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So that's...
And there it is.
And then they come
back. They find winter hiding places along frozen stream banks and among tree roots. Mosquitoes usually disappear when cold weather comes, but they don't go away for good.
So if you have a warm day, they can wake up.
They could.
Yep. So that's why you'll see them.
Mosquitoes die in the winter. In some cases, mosquitoes survive the winter as adults. As they mate in the fall, the male dies. The female survives by wintering in protected area like a hollowed out log. Mosquitoes will generally be absent from the first time that temperatures drop below 50 degrees and until it rises above 80 degrees.
Yeah, not 50.
But
I'm not buying that. I think it took actual freezing for them to not be around this year.
Yeah. I agree. I think it really comes.
We're talking 32 degrees or below, and a nice sustain, like an overnight where you get into the 20s, that's going to get rid of your mosquitoes.
Right.
I think we were seeing them when it wasn't freezing yet. We were still seeing them. I was still getting bit.
Right. And they'll lay eggs too, apparently. And
yeah, of course.
The eggs will survive the winter.
Oh, that's just delightful.
So you can't get rid of them. They're always there.
So you can always get the odd 60-degree day in December. That might happen. We're going to see 50s this week.
We are?
Yes. Yeah,
wow.
Later in the week. Like Thursday, it's going to be 50s, but it's going to go back down. This weekend, when we go to New Jersey, it's going to be cold. Although I don't know what the temperature is going to be in Jersey. I have to check that. So you want to make sure there's no standing water in your yard, of course. You can eat garlic if you can, which is going to make you a little less... interesting to the mosquitoes. You can light citronella candles in the yard. You can put up bat houses who love to eat mosquitoes. And that was something I thought about. Ron said we need a lot of bat houses. But I think if we had a couple of bat houses, maybe two or three, we might get bats. And I mean, we have bats anyway.
We do.
But it would be nice to have some bat houses. Then we would encourage them. And I don't mind having bats. They don't scare me. You know, of course, the kind that eat mosquitoes, that's the ones I'd like to see. It's kind of fun if you are able to be outside at dusk watching them dive bombing for mosquitoes because they eat a lot of mosquitoes. And so rain and standing water is where they breed. And you can also use natural spray that has citronella and lemon eucalyptus. Yeah, lemon eucalyptus is supposed to be really good. I haven't found something that seems to be really good. Although I also Bio-UD. Bio-UD doesn't smell that great, but Bio-UD is an extract of tomatoes, and it's supposed to work just as well as DDT, and it's non-toxic. Lavender, cinnamon, and thyme, and Greek catnip, soybean, tea tree oil, neem oil, and geranium can all be helpful. So if there's some geranium extract in your, or geranium essential oil in your spray. You can get that. And you can get those essential oils, or you can get combinations at the health food store. All right. So what's the next thing?
Oh, okay. I was reading about mosquitoes and blood types and how they like type O better than others. But in general, they really follow odors and carbon dioxide that we exhale.
Right.
That's really what they're after more than anything else. So you just have to stop exhaling and the mosquitoes will leave you alone.
But that
would require you to stop inhaling.
Right.
Right.
That doesn't work.
So anyway, for what it's worth. Okay, next on the list here. Let's see. We talked about that already. So can green tea help me lose weight? Not that I want to lose weight, but...
And you're not into green tea either.
I'm not into green tea either.
No.
Tell me about green tea and what the deal is.
Well, I love green tea. I think I was Asian in a past life because I love green tea on its own. I love it iced. I love it as matcha. I love, green bubble tea as a flavoring for lattes. Green jasmine tea is really delicious. I love green tea ice cream, green tea in chocolate, and green tea candy. When you mix matcha, which is powdered green tea, with chocolate, you get a great antioxidant boost. Mm-hmm. And there are studies on a great polyphenol in green tea, which is EGCG, epigallocatechin gallate, which has been shown to help with fat loss. It works better if you consume at least 80 milligrams of caffeine a day. So you kind of have to have the caffeine for the green tea to help you with the fat loss. And that would not be a problem for you, Ron, but it might be for me. But you already don't need to lose the weight.
No,
but
not
anybody who's a slow metabolizer of caffeine may not be able to do 80 milligrams of caffeine. You'd have to drink 2 or 3 cups of green tea, probably less of matcha, to achieve that. You can also take EGCG as a supplement, but should probably have a cup of green or black tea or even coffee along with that. But that's not a good idea if you have negative health consequences from caffeine. And I've found that recently I've had to really cut my caffeine intake because I've discovered that I get very low-grade migraines. And so where I get these, like just feeling a little bit off from light sensitivity, and I did get an ocular migraine in September. And I don't get my full-blown migraines where you have the really bad headache except for the day after my second Moderna dose. And so the thing is, for this to work, for you to get the EGCG, you do have to have some amount of caffeine, and that might be an issue for people who really can't do caffeine. But EGCG is still a wonderful antioxidant, and it's a great antioxidant. It can be helpful as antioxidant support for cancer, and antioxidant support for all kinds of things, for allergies and other inflammatory conditions, for autoimmune disease. It just has great oxidative stress reducing properties. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we have time for one more thing, I think.
Yeah, I guess so. How can I improve my memory?
I can't remember.
Oh, you can't remember. Oh, you're so funny. So funny.
Do you have issues with your memory?
I would say that I've always had issues with my memory. Yeah. Yeah. I claim it to be there's a lot going on up there, so you get cluttered, and therefore your memory, it's sort of like a computer that has like too many bits of information and not enough storage to hold it all.
It needs to be defragged.
Exactly. So anyway, because I do a lot of the things I'm supposed to do. I exercise and I eat right and I do all that, but sometimes I have a little trouble with my memory.
Yeah, you're also on some meds that might be reducing your memory capacity.
Could be, but I'm also getting more oxygen in my blood than I used to get.
That's true, and that's going to be helpful.
It may improve as things get, better. I mean, I can tell you that other things are improving dramatically.
Yeah.
Like my physical capacity is definitely much higher than it was before I had my bypass surgery.
Bypass, yeah.
So I'm like really excited because things are changing pretty much weekly. I'm feeling better and better.
That's great.
So,
yeah.
But anyway, but my memory, it's always going to be, there are certain I know there are certain like things you can do, like crossword puzzles and memory games and different things. And I do crossword puzzle memory game stuff.
Yeah.
And I try that, and you know, because there's a lot of online stuff available now. And there's certain types of puzzles that are better than others for your memory. But you know, what else can I do?
Well, you can exercise, which you're already doing.
I already do that.
And exercise helps to improve your circulation, helps keep your arteries free of plaque, especially the ones going to your brain. It also helps you to make more collateral circulation, so you actually have more arteries supplying your whole body, including your brain and your heart. And that's what saved your life, the exercise that you were getting.
Yeah.
Because your coronary arteries weren't doing such a great job, you built more arteries, which is so great. And you want to avoid too much starchy or sugary food or processed food, and make sure to eat a lot of essential fatty acids such as fish and fish oil, olives and olive oil, and also nuts and seeds. You notice how walnuts look like little brains?
That's brains.
The doctrine of signature. Brains. So walnuts look like little brains. That's a doctrine of signatures thing where the food that you're eating looks like the organ that it's supposed to be helping.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's an idea. But walnuts do have monounsaturated fats, which are good fats that help with your brain health. Eating purple produce like raspberries and blackberries and blueberries and purple potatoes and purple sweet potatoes.
I was going to say we had purple sweet potatoes.
That's right.
Yeah,
and those anisins and blackberries.
That's why I feel so smart today.
Blackberries have actually been studied to reduce symptoms of Alzheimer's disease.
Mm.
And then there are herbs like ginkgo, bacopa, and curcumin. And I know you've seen that ad on TV. That's that thing that has been extracted from jellyfish. That probably helps too. It's some protein that's extracted from jellyfish.
Huh.
Okay. So that was a lot of good questions. So I hope you learned something new. And you can write your own questions in the comments, or you can write to me. You can do that by writing to me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. You can write to me on my Facebook page at @FranStorchND, or write in live while we're doing Facebook Live, and you can get your questions answered, because we definitely want to help to edify you. So thank you for listening today. I'm going to sign off because we're out of time. You've been listening to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host, Ron Meniza. You can email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also leave questions or comments at my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storch, ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org.